Mark chapter 3, the first six verses. Hear God's word. He entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." He said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Give us grace now as we look into it, that we might see your truth for us in this day, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You are here along with us as a faculty and staff to study the Word of God, and it's a good thing for us to be together, and it's a wonderful prospect studying the Scriptures together. And you are in preparation for future ministry, and we're all thankful that this is the case. As students and as a faculty, though, I have a word of caution for you. Do not study the Word of God as an end in itself. It's very easy for us to go in that direction, to look at the Word of God and study it, and to be thankful that we have an opportunity to study the Word of God, and to, in the end, pride ourselves in the fact that we've studied the Word of God and we have a better grasp of it. But studying the Word of God in an end to as itself is not why God gives us the Bible. He gives us the Bible, He gives you the Bible, to lead you to Christ. He gives you the Bible to lead you to Christ, and Christ is the one, the only one, who is able to give you rest, final rest in heaven. And so as you study the Bible, I encourage you, and as a faculty, as we teach the Bible here, we all need to remember that it's not an end in itself, this study. You are to study the Bible to learn about Christ. And Christ is the one who will give you rest, the rest of heaven, in the midst of the arduous work of your study. And that's the point I want you to get this morning, is that you need to trust Christ. You need to trust Christ to give you the rest you need in the midst of your studies, the rest of heaven. And I think this is, at least in large measure, where our text this morning leads us in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let's look at this text together and see how it takes us to this end, this point. The Lord Jesus has been ministering in the area of Capernaum. And if you have your Bibles and you look at verse 1 in chapter 2, it says, "When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home." He was ministering in the area of Capernaum. And as he was doing so, he was busy about the whole matter of teaching and preaching. And in verse 23, it says, "It happened that he was passing through the grain fields on a particular Sabbath day." And busy about the business of his work in the area of Capernaum. And as he passed through the fields on the Sabbath day and the disciples were plucking some grain, he met a little opposition. And you see at the end of chapter 2, Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." And then he makes this great declaration. "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." In other words, Jesus is saying to those around him, and particularly to the Pharisees, "Don't you understand that I am the one who created the Sabbath? I am God incarnate." I think this was, in large measure, the confession, the statement that Jesus was making. And this is pretty much the theme of the whole beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is setting forth his divinity. And he says to the Pharisees, "As the Lord of the Sabbath, I made the Sabbath for the benefit of people like you." Don't you get it? The Sabbath was made after the creation of man and for the benefit of man. It's not the other way around. The Sabbath is not to be venerated as a Lord, something that you should worship. And so Jesus is rather turning the tables on the Pharisees. And so we come to our text this morning. "He entered again into a synagogue," the New American Standard Version says, and literally it's the synagogue. It's probably the synagogue of the Pharisees that he's just been speaking to and who have upbraided him. "He entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered." So Jesus, on the Sabbath, as was his custom, went into the synagogue. And you know this is the case. Jesus was often asked to teach in the synagogue. And this might have been the case on this particular Sabbath. We don't know that it is, but it certainly might have been. And if he was invited to come forward to teach, he opened the Word of God and gave a homily in the synagogue. And here in the congregation is a man with a withered hand. And in the synagogue, therefore, Jesus meets this need, quite obvious need. And of course, he also meets his opposition in the synagogue. Verse 2, "They were," that is the Pharisees, it was their synagogue, "they were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so they might accuse him." So here's the man with the need, and here's the opposition. And they're watching. And the word here is they're on guard, as it were. They're sentries. They're watching. And I don't think it's to protect the flock. In this case, they're on guard because they want to pick at Jesus. They want to find a reason to accuse him. And they wonder, with this man who's there with a withered hand, if he's going to heal this man. They want to be able to accuse him of a violation of the Sabbath. And this man with a withered hand, we don't know too much about him, except that it's probably not something genetic that's a problem or a congenital problem. It's probably something that occurred because of disease or illness. President O'Neill and I have a good friend in Kansas who had an accident when he was a freshman in college in a gym class. And he's a quadriplegic now. And he has been for years as a result of this accident in a gym class. And he has very limited use of his arms and hands. And he cannot walk. And he can hardly stretch out his hands. He can peck a little bit at the computer, so he uses the computer quite a little bit. But this is probably the situation with this man with a withered hand. And so Jesus, knowing his opposition, says to the man with the withered hand, "Stand up, come up here." in the midst, as though, get up here so everyone can see you. Uh-oh. The scene is being set, is it not? And as he calls this man with the withered hand to come forward, Jesus has a question, a well-framed question to ask. Look at verse 4. And he said to them, that is, pointedly to the Pharisees, he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? Well, you wouldn't want to do evil on the Sabbath, would you? No. Is it lawful? Does the law permit, in other words, the doing of good on the Sabbath? Well, you can think about the law just for a moment. And in another place, Jesus asked the question, well, if you came along and there was an ox in a ditch, would you not pull him out on the Sabbath? Or in the law it says, if you come along and you find a friend, well, not even a friend, someone who hates you, and their animal has fallen and they're pinned under the animal, what would you do? Well, the law says you'd pull them out. You'd rescue them. And would you not even do the same on the Sabbath? Our catechism says that on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, we are to refrain from all our worldly work and recreations, except we are to do those things that are works of necessity and mercy. In other words, the doctors in the hospital and the nurses in the hospital ought to do their work on the Sabbath day, these works of necessity and mercy. And so is it proper, Jesus is asking, to do good on the Sabbath? And he adds to the question, to save a life or to kill? And literally it is, to save a soul. To save a soul. Whoa. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to preach the gospel so that men and women would be saved? Is that lawful? Amen. It is lawful. And you would not want to kill or to destroy. You would not want to lead men and women to perdition and to destroy them, would you, on the Sabbath day? And what's the response to this pointed question? The text again, the end of verse 4. But they kept silent. What do you hear? Nothing. You could have heard, I suspect, after the asking of that question, a pin drop in the synagogue and clatter on the floor. The silence. And the man standing in the midst, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? And in response to the silence, of the Pharisees, verse 5 says, after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Looking around at the synagogue now, and there is in the heart of Jesus an anger. Looking at these Pharisees, what are you about, Pharisees? They knew full well the indictment that Jesus was leveling at them. They were about evil. And we see this momentarily in the text. They were not about good. How did they view the Sabbath? They viewed the Sabbath as a Lord, as something to be venerated in and of itself. That was the problem. They were studying the Word of God not as something that would lead them to Christ. They studied the Word of God as an end in itself, and they prided themselves in the keeping of the Word of God. They would puff up their chests. Oh yes, we've kept it well. Will you keep it, Jesus? You see, that was their posture, and that was their demeanor, and that was their error. You see, a studying of the Word of God as an end in itself, so they could pride themselves in what they had done and what they had accomplished. And so, Jesus, looking at them, not with an anger that was boiling over with vengeance, not with an anger that was full of viciousness or vice, not with an anger that sought revenge, but an anger, you notice the text, an anger tempered with sorrow, with grief. And looking around at them with anger, being grieved, you could read it, being grieved at their hardness of heart, looking at the Pharisees, what did he see? You Pharisees are like, you're like Pharaoh. You have hard hearts. You have hearts that are in opposition to God. That's who you look like. Imagine. Imagine the comparison of the hard heart. And seeing this, Jesus is grieved, sorrowful. In his heart. And so what does he say? Stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. And in the scene of the synagogue, what is the man to do? But to stretch out his hand. And as he does so, restored. Made whole. And what does this man with a withered hand receive on the Sabbath day in this healing? But a taste of the rest, the ultimate rest that Jesus Christ gives to men and women. In heaven, a taste of that ultimate rest. Appropriate for the Sabbath day, is it not? And then we see the response of the Pharisees. Verse 6. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Conspiring with the Herodians. You remember what Herod wanted to do at the birth of Jesus, do you not? He sent his SWAT team to Bethlehem to destroy the children in that village. And conspiring with the party of Herod, they want now the Pharisees to destroy Jesus. There is murder in their hearts. On the Sabbath day. Do you get it? Look at the question again in the text. Verse 4, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? And what were the Pharisees up to? The Pharisees were up to murder. testing Jesus to see whether they could accuse him of violating the Sabbath, while they themselves, with murder in their own hearts, were violators of the Sabbath. Quite amazing in this circumstance. And I submit to you, as the Pharisees departed, and there was this man healed by Jesus, this man healed by Jesus, by the Lord of the Sabbath, healed. This man, once again, had a taste of the ultimate Sabbath rest Jesus would give in heaven. And so, friends, as you're here at RPTS, do I dare say it? Don't be like the Pharisees and study the Word of God as an end in itself. But understand, in your studies and in our teaching, our objective in the end is to come to Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, who gives us presently tokens of the great Sabbath rest of heaven. And so in the midst of your studies, in the midst of our teaching, we need to come to Christ, and you need to trust Christ. You need to trust Christ to give you the healing rest of heaven as you are here in this place. Trust Christ to give you the healing rest of heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. And thank you that our study of your word is not an end in itself, but meant to lead us to your Son, the Savior, the Lord of the Sabbath. And we pray, Father, that each of us will trust him to give us the healing rest of heaven. Grant that this would be the case in the good and great name of Jesus, the Savior. Amen.